Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. Now for today's topic, I was asked by a listener to talk a little bit more about trouble in making decisions. So let me ask you, do you trust yourself in your decisions? Or do you go back and forth a million times afraid of making a mistake? Do you tend to avoid finalizing a decision till the last minute? Do you constantly need others to confirm your decision is the right one? Do you feel overwhelmed when there are decisions to be made? And the question I want to ask you most of all is, do you feel like there must be something wrong with you for not being able to make decisions like you should? If you do, the first thing I want to let you know with this episode is that there is nothing wrong with you and none of it is your fault or your limitation. You're not broken, damaged, and in need of to be fixed, and you weren't born without the correct decision-making gene or anything like that. Many daughters of narcissistic mothers, me very much included, struggle with making decisions. Why? Because decision-making is a skill we learn growing up, and in an ideal world, we would learn this from our parents, who would be the best example of how to make decisions. But within the context of having a narcissistic mother, things don't go quite like that for us. They didn't go like that. Instead, you may have been neglected, being left on your own to make a lot of decisions from a very young age with no one to show you how. Same goes for a child that has been parentified and been forced to make decisions that were way bigger than the appropriate decision making for that age. Or maybe the consequences of your decisions were hurtful from a very young age, meaning a simple choice as a child could lead you to be emotionally or even physically abused, to being punished. Or maybe there was a lot of pressure on you to please your mother or both your parents, and you learned from a very young age that some decisions get you validation and love while others don't. This would be what would be typical of a golden child. If your mother praised you and rewarded you when you did something that pleased her, this started a pattern of seeking validation through your choices and decisions, which leads to fear of losing love when making a mistake. You may have learned that failure and mistakes are not an option, as you got punished when that happened. Maybe your mother made sure to tell you how bad you are at decision-making, either directly or very directly by criticizing every decision you made. Maybe she has infantilized you, treating you like a child, even now that you are an adult, making decisions for you even when you can make your own. This way, disempowering you in actually learning how to make your own decisions. You may have learned to rely on her for every decision, as her need to be needed had her conditioning you to ask for her advice all the time. She may have pitched herself as the only one who knows you and who knows what's best for you. So if you have experienced any of this, I really want you to know that you're not alone in this. And that with a narcissistic mother and toxic mother and emotionally immature mother, whichever the degree on the spectrum of that, this is something that a lot of us have experienced in one way or another. Personally, I have been so enmeshed with my mother for so long that I could not make a decision at all without consulting her first. I had to call her for the simplest of things, bypassing everyone else. I had to make sure she agreed with me before making a decision so that she would validate me. And for a very long time, I didn't realize how unable I was at decision making. And going no contact actually showed me that, because the moment I went no contact, well, of course, I could not call her anymore for validation or to consult her. So without her confirming or telling me what to do, I experienced a lot of anxiety in decision making. It kind of all came to the surface with a bang. Also, there was no way for me to tell how she would react in general to my decision. So when we were in contact, she would change her mind constantly and unpredictably. So I didn't know ever. I couldn't know if the decision I was making was going to actually get me validation or a put down. And that caused me a lot of anxiety and a lot of going back and forth on every decision, because not being able to know if she would be happy with my decision or not, and me desperately wanting her to be happy with my decision, I then didn't make a decision, which actually got her frustrated because I couldn't make the decision. And so it was a vicious cycle that brought me a lot of hurt and actually never ever the capacity to learn properly how to make my own decisions. So I really get it. If you've experienced that, if you're having trouble, if you feel paralyzed when you need to make a decision, or if you feel overwhelmed, or if you feel super anxious, or if you feel the need for validation and confirmation from other people, I totally get your situation, because I've been there. So having been through those scenarios that I described earlier leads us to fearing making mistakes, which when you fear making mistakes, it's very hard to make a decision, because within a decision, there is a probability or a chance or a portion of percentage of probability that we may make the so-called wrong decision and things may not go as planned. That's kind of part of life. But when we're very afraid of making mistakes, then this stops us from making decision. Procrastination, so when needing to make a decision. A deeply rooted belief that you're lovable because of your achievements and not for being you. Or feeling you lack the courage to make decisions. You lack the confidence to make decisions. I hear it a lot of the time. Oh, I'm not confident enough. I wish I had your confidence in making decisions. It leads to make decisions based on the fear of consequences rather than what you truly want. So we get obsessed with all the possible scenarios and how things could go wrong. And we try to avoid all of those scenarios, and that's what we base our decisions on rather than actually what would be truly helpful for us. This can lead to chronic indecision, which is what I was talking about before, going back and forth a million times, even on really what seem from the outside to be really simple decisions. Of course, for us, which we are experiencing this chronic indecision, they're not simple at all. This can also lead to a sense of hopelessness. We tell ourselves, no matter what I'll decide, it'll be wrong. There's no hope of me ever making the right decision. And if you've ever felt that, my heart goes to you so much, because I've been there so many times. This feeling that no matter what I'll decide, it's just not gonna go right. Also, we can find ourselves feeling overwhelmed by decisions, all the way to pure panic, especially if we have more than one decision to make and it feels like they're accumulating. Because of course, if we're procrastinating and if we're afraid of making decisions, then we end up with an accumulation of decisions to make, because we're kind of procrastinating, we're avoiding them. And so they accumulate, and then the sense of overwhelm comes because we have a lot of decisions to make at the one time. And that causes a lot of exhaustion too. So you can find yourself feeling utterly exhausted at the end of your day because of all these decisions that have accumulated. We can get to the point that we're delegating to others to make decisions for ourselves, which there are situations in which that can be appropriate, but not in every situation it is appropriate to let other people decide for you. We end up needing approval and confirmation for our every decision. So again, you make a decision, but then before you finalize it, you have to contact a million people, make sure that they agree with you. And if only one person actually disagrees with your decision, then this spirals you back in the whole doubting and going back and forth. And it gets worse and worse. And also it leads to anxiety when it comes to make decisions, of course. And a lot of us may experience the good girl approach to decision making, which is making decisions based on others' opinions, on what others are expecting from us, or on what a good girl would do and should do. And it leads us to believe that there are good decisions that will get you love and bad decisions that will get you rejected. And so that you need to figure this out or you lose the love. That's the good girl approach. What would a good girl do? I remember even being told this. And I sometimes witnessed this maybe, I don't know, at the park. When I was bringing my children to the park, they were smaller. So you'd hear that mother saying to their children, what would a good girl or a good boy do? You know? Think about it. If you were a good child, what would you decide? Oh my God, like that's such pressure. And it's such a conditioning to actually tell us that there is such a decision that is going to make us be good. And if we go with a different decision, we're going to be bad. So there's no room for mistakes here. So this is why this topic is so important. Chronic indecision, having trouble making decisions, feeling fear, anxiety, being afraid of decision making, avoiding decisions. All of this comes from the experiences we've had of this in childhood. And this is really important to understand. Because first of all, it kind of relieves you of the fact that it's your fault, that you're like faulty somewhat, somehow. You were born without being able to make decisions. And that's crap. That's actually not true. That is so untrue. No one is born like that. Decision making is a skill that is learned by your parents in the environment you grow up, by mirroring their capacity of making decisions, and also by them providing a safe environment for you to start sampling with making decisions, which of course is gonna mean that sometimes those decisions don't actually bring the result that you thought they would. So there are a lot of, also what I wanted to say is that yes, understanding that this comes from childhood is important because there are a lot of resources that give practical advice as to how to make decisions. And I've seen a lot of that in the years. Of course, I've researched tons of it because of my own perceived incapacity of making decisions. So you get a lot of tips. And all of that is great as it offers some support for a while. Like, for example, maybe you've heard things like make a list of all the pros and cons of your decision. Or start with small decisions and build from there. Another one, another advice I see a lot is to gather all the information possible, the so-called make an informed decision. So try to know all about it, effectively become an expert in the topic you have to make a decision on, predict all the outcomes, and then also have a plan B in case things don't go as you've planned. And I have tried a lot of these tips. And I'm not here to say that these are wrong advices, because they're not. They are tips that can definitely work. But what I've experienced without actually going back to understanding that it came from childhood is that I was just putting a patch on something that was actually way deeper. The thing was, these tips helped for a while, but not on the long run. What was happening for me, and I do see this with clients too, they come to me with all these practical tips and stuff and whatever, and they're still completely caught and not able to make decisions. So what I witnessed for myself was that it becomes more and more a mind-led process, and it's completely disconnected from your gut instinct. And ultimately, it gets more and more complex with a high risk of getting stuck eventually, because if you can't have, for example, the tip of gather all the possible information before making a decision, what if you can't have all the information you need? There are times that you can't. I just bought a secondhand car and there is no way I can predict all the possible outcomes. Of course, I made sure that it was a good working car. Of course, I considered some aspects of it and the year of it, the make of it and whatnot. I also can tap into a little bit of experience in buying secondhand cars because I've done it a few times. But ultimately, if that car just decides to leave me on the side of the road next week, I can't actually predict all the possible outcome. I cannot know. I know the previous owner, but probably there's been other ones before. I can't actually get all the information. I can't predict all the outcomes. So what do? I freeze. Or do I just tap into a different part of me and make the decision? And that's what I had to learn to do. And that is what I now teach. There's a deeper way to get to the root of why we're not able to make decisions, and then from there actually repattern, retrain, train the system in the skill of decision making for real from the inside. For example, another thing that has happened to me very often is that the list of pros and cons was not that defined. Sometimes you do this list and it's like it's really obvious, okay, the pros are like really massive and the cons are actually not so big, and the opposite can be true too. The cons are like scary and they're massive and the pros are just okay, maybe it's not worth it, and that can be clear. But there are times where your pros and cons are like much a muchness, like they're very sort of the way pretty much the same. So again, what do? You're stuck. And then the anxiety, the fear of mistakes and all of that all come back with a bang. So these tips are great, but these tips are only working short term and putting a patch on a bigger issue that is clearly deeply rooted within the system, because it comes from a pattern that started in childhood, from all those experiences that we just mentioned earlier. And so today, what I want to share with you are six keys that have helped me to get at the very root of my perceived inability of making decisions for myself and build the confidence from the inside in a truly long-lasting way. Because when we're talking about trauma, we're talking about disconnection from self, and we're talking about that disconnection from that gut instinct that we all have. We're born with it, because we wouldn't survive if we didn't have that gut instinct. But because we were raised by a narcissistic mother, by toxic parents, by parents that were emotionally immature, we did not have that safety to actually cultivate that gut instinct. And so being disconnected from that, now we're not able to listen to it. And that's okay. That's, again, it's not your fault. And we can actually retrain. We can go back and train that capacity to make decisions once we get to the root of it. So here are six keys that have really made a massive difference for me. The first one is training versus fixing. You've heard me speaking about training in this episode. So your difficulty in making decisions is not something you need to fix. It's not a sign that there's something wrong with you. As we saw, this comes from your childhood experiences and how you've been brought up by your parents. So rather than feeling you need to fix this, the most helpful way to approach this is like a training. You are training consciously. You're consciously training yourself in the skill of making decisions. And this is important to keep in mind when we get to key number six. Because implementing different things can sometimes be quite challenging. It can actually feel like a lot of effort, especially at the beginning. But it's because you are training. It's like if you came to me and asked me to go run a marathon, I don't run. I do a lot of other exercise, but I don't actually run. So I would have to start training. And the first few times, and even a good bit after that, I would have to effort the running, because I don't do that. Okay, so it's not a fault of mine. It's just I haven't practiced. And so the same here. We're not fixing an issue because there's something wrong with you. You are actually training, consciously training yourself in the skill of making decisions. And you can do that at any age and at any stage. It's never too late for that. Second key is courage versus confidence. This is really, really important. You don't need confidence to make a decision. You need courage. And this is something that, again, I said earlier, I get told all the time, oh, I wish I had your confidence. I am not confident enough. I don't have the confidence. Confidence is not something that you have or don't have. It's something that is built over time. Again, it's not like a gene, or we've got the gene of confidence or we don't. It's something that is built over time. Now, what you do have is courage, because courage is the strength of your heart. Comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. Courage is actually the strength of your heart. And you have that already in buckets. Think about all the amazing things you've done in your life. Things, even just how courageously you've learned coping strategies to survive having a narcissistic mother. That's like your first, like that's there. You've done that. How courageous is that? So courage you have. So the courage is what you need to tap into to start making decisions. And at first, you're going to need quite a bit of courage to make your first decisions. And then, as you start doing that and you see actually that that's not the end of the world, confidence is going to build. And then you're going to have more and more confidence the more decisions you make. So actually, this training becomes fun because it's like collecting confidence points. Let's put it that way. Every time you tap into your courage to make a decision, you're collecting confidence points. Because in childhood, making the wrong decision actually meant the end of your survival, meant death. And that is the pattern that we bring into adulthood, but that's not true anymore. You're now an adult, and now you can make decisions. And yes, we're going to talk about mistakes in a minute, because I know that some of you are thinking, but what if I make the wrong decision? What if I make a mistake? Hold tight, we're going to talk about that. But in the meantime, think about it as a game. Like, you're literally building confidence points. You're accumulating them. You get more and more confident the more you make decisions. Third key, safety. As a child, you learned it wasn't safe to make decisions. You learned how some choices will get you approval and others will get you hurt. And you had no other choice but to figure out a way to cope. And that's where, you know, that courage, you actually figured out a way to cope. And that's amazing. Now, as an adult, you have the power to make your own decisions. What's needed is safety within your nervous system and within your body. And this can be built. So like on one side, you're tapping into your courage and you're building those confidence points. On the other side, you're helping your system to feel safer and safer by conscious practice. There are practices like embodiment practices, breathing practices, somatic practices. There are ways to actually build guided meditations that build safety back in your nervous system. And so on one side, you're accumulating those confidence points, and on the other side, you're building the container to become stronger and stronger and safer and safer. Now, the fourth key is mistakes versus experiences. So I told you we were going to talk about the mistakes. Here we are. Mistakes versus experiences. The biggest fear in decision making is, what if I get it all wrong? What if I make a mistake? Making mistakes was not something you could do as a child. This would get you scapegoated, rejected, punished, ridiculed, and so on. And yet, mistakes are a part of learning, growing and expanding as a human being. We can't avoid them. No matter how much information you get on your decisions, no matter how much you plan B, no matter how much you try to figure out all the possible outcomes, no matter how many lists of pros and cons and all of that you do, mistakes, so-called mistakes, are unavoidable. They're part of learning, growing, and expanding. And if you try to avoid them, what happens is that you remain stuck. You stop expanding. You stop growing. You actually stop enjoying life. I do get this, like, oh, I don't like my life anymore. All the excitement is gone out of my life. I don't enjoy getting up in my mornings anymore. Life feels dull, and I feel stuck all the time. And I've been there. I so have been there. So I get you. I really, really do. But because we can't progress and expand and enjoy if we don't become very, very comfortable with the fact that sometimes we're going to make mistakes in our decisions and that that's not the end of the world. So what has helped me in this was realizing that there's no such thing as a mistake really, but only experiences. And I haven't brought this concept into this world at all. This is not coming from me. Like, I've read biographies and studies. Every person that has achieved anything in life realized that there aren't mistakes, but only experiences. I'm talking about great artists, great sports people, that great scientists that actually invented incredible things. Only by making mistakes, they realized that there was a lot of learning each time that something didn't go as planned. Or every time they made a decision that didn't give them the results they wanted. No mistakes, only experiences. This way you can't go wrong. Every time that you make a decision, you know, the car I bought, well, I did buy it. It's a secondhand car. If it actually doesn't treat me as well as I'm hoping, well, then I've learned, okay, that's that make or that brand or whatever, or that person, there was some information that I got, and I'm not going to repeat that again. I'm going to actually have more experience and I'm going to learn from it. So there aren't any mistakes. There's only experiences, and it's part of the process. You can only expand when you become comfortable with the fact that you're not going to get it right, in inverted commas, all the time. Fifth key is community. Who you share your decisions with is very important, especially at the beginning of this process of training. Because of all the unsafety that you experience in childhood and the fact that your decisions were not respected, they were not supported, they were not approved of, it was an absolute mess. Yeah. So you need people now who will respect your decisions and who will not judge any of your decisions as mistakes, but as experiences. So this whole point of mistakes versus experiences, it's really important. You need to have people around you that you can share your decisions, that also share that value, that okay, you haven't made a mistake, so you've just learned a lot from an experience, and now you can move on more empowered than before. And also people who will offer feedback, because that's important, but feedback with respect and when needed. And most of all, not for their own interest, like a narcissistic mother would do, because narcissistic mothers are really great at offering feedback. They do it all the time. My mother, my God, the amount of feedback I got. First of all, it was unrequested, not needed. And third, it was always ultimately for her own interest and never for mine. So what you need is people that, yes, will respectfully offer you feedback, because sometimes we need that. But they will do it keeping at heart your best interests, not their own. So this will support the building of safety within your system. A community like that will support that. That is what we do in Reclaim Your Fullness online community. We support each other. When someone shares about a decision that they have to make, there's no opinionated people sharing their opinions based on their own needs and their own egoic trips and all of that. We are actually supporting each other and respecting each other's decision and offering feedback when requested. Very respectfully. So having someone, a trusted friend, someone that can do this for you, or a community like the one in Reclaim Your Fullness can be a great support at the beginning of this, because remember, it's a training, so it does require stages of it. Like, and at the beginning, this is precious. It's like it's new. We're sampling something new that we were so unsafe to do before. So we need that support from the outside. We need that safe container that helps us with the first few steps. It's like as a child, you're learning to take the first few steps. You're going to have, hopefully, maybe not, I don't know, what was your experience? I didn't have my mother holding my hand. I had other people, maybe my father or my grandmother, holding my hands to help me take the first steps. And then you're on your own, and then you get better and better. So that's why the community is very important at the beginning. And the sixth key, and this is where the whole concept of training versus fixing is very important, because this can feel like an effort at the beginning. But remember that you're consciously training in decision-making skill. So the method of pause, feel, and respond. You've heard me maybe talking about this before if you've been listening to this podcast for a while. When we're in need to make a decision, we find it challenging. We get anxious, overwhelmed, scared of the consequences, and caught in a thinking process that spirals into less and less clarity. This is where we end up making decisions out of patterns, or maybe we avoid making this decision altogether. So this is where I practice pause, feel, and respond. Pause is the first step. So you take a breath. If you're feeling overwhelmed, way too anxious, if your emotional, if your nervous system has gone all dysregulated because there's this fear of making this decision or whatever you're experiencing, you gotta bring back some level of regulation in your system first. So take a breath, change the subject for a while, go for a walk. This is not procrastinating. This is consciously doing so, consciously changing the subject for a moment, consciously pausing so that you can bring your system back to a more regulated space using the practices. Now, at this point, you can feel into the place you're coming from in this decision. And you can ask yourself some questions like, who are you trying to please? What are you trying to soothe? What are you trying to avoid? What are you for? What are your values? What is most important to you? And the most important question of all, what would you decide if you knew you could not fail? And then, once you gather this information from inside of yourself, and this can take a few days, a few weeks, or a few moments. This depends, first of all, on the level of your training, at what point you are in this training, and it also depends on the type of decision you're about to make. But the process remains the same. At this point, once you've got this information from inside of yourself, then you can respond. And your response is, you make your decision based on this new data you now have. And this is going to train your system to consciously tap into that gut feeling more and more and more. We cannot tap into that when we're overwhelmed by the dysregulated nervous system, emotional response that come from trauma and patterns of coping strategy and all of that. That brings us away from our authentic self and from our gut feeling. So that's why pause, get back to a more regulated place, feel into where is this decision coming from? Are you deciding from the good girl approach? What would you decide if you knew you could not fail? That's such a key question. That has really helped me in so many situations. And we go back to, remember, there's no mistakes, so there's no failures. There's actually only experiences. So you can actually not fail in this. You cannot. Most of the time, there's very, very rare cases where a decision is a matter of life and death in our adult life. And there are those rare cases, and we can receive support. Again, we go back to the community, and here is where we get the support from people that may have more experience than us on a certain topic. But in general, the vast majority of decisions that we need to make in our everyday life are not life and death decision. There isn't that much at stake, ultimately, really. But our nervous system makes it so as if there was like our life at stake, because it's still based on our childhood experience when our life was actually at stake, but it's not anymore. So what would you decide if you knew you could not fail? So I hope this was helpful and that is giving you some food for thoughts on the process of making decision. Again, let's recap for a moment. The six keys: training versus fixing. It's a conscious training. You're not fixing yourself. Courage versus confidence. Confidence is something you cultivate and build over time. So what you need to tap into is your courage, which you have. Safety. You need to build safety in your nervous system. This is going to support you in this process of collecting the confidence points. Mistakes versus experiences. There is no such thing as a mistake. There's only experiences, and you learn from your experiences. Then community, find a community, a trusted friend, someone that is going to respect your decisions and only offer feedback with your best interest at heart for real. And then practice the pause, feel, respond method. With that, I'm gonna wish you a wonderful week. If you have any questions, feel free to comment, or you can also email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Check the links in the description of this episode for the free resources and for all the different offerings that you might be called to. And with that, I wish you lots of love and bye for now.